वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट 18 Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The next planet below Atala, text 18 here. Yeah. Below the planet Vitala is another planet known as Sutala, where the great son of Maharaj Virochan, Bali Maharaj, who is celebrated as the most pious king, resides even now. For the welfare of Indra, the king of heaven, Lord Vishnu appeared in the form of a dwarf brahmachari as the son of Aditi and tricked Bali Maharaj by begging for only 3 paces of land, but taking all 3 worlds. Being very pleased with Bali Maharaj for giving all his possessions, the Lord returned his kingdom and made him richer than the opulent king Indra. Even now Bali Maharaj engages in devotional service by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the planet of Sutala. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Uttama Sloka, he who is worshipped by the best of selected Sanskrit verses, and his devotees, such as Bali Maharaj, are also worshipped by Punya Sloka verses that increases one's piety. Bali Maharaj offered everything to the Lord, his wealth, his kingdom, and even his own body, Sarvatma Nivedane Bali. The Lord appeared before Bali as a Brahmana beggar, and Bali Maharaj gave him everything he had. However, Bali Maharaj did not become poor. By donating all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became a successful devotee and got everything back again with the blessings of the Lord. Similarly, those who give contributions to expand the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement and to accomplish its objectives will never be losers. They will get their wealth back with the blessings of Lord Krishna. On the other side, those who collect contributions on behalf of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should be very careful not to use even a farthing of the collection for any purpose other than the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desharine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Vanchakalpa Darbhisya Kipasindu Bhavacha Padidhanam Bhavane Vyavaishnavi Namanam. So this is a very beautiful translation and purport describing the devotion of Bali Maharaj and the heart of Krishna as Vamanadev. Rabindranath Prabhu usually recites these pastimes every time he does yagya, and he says, oh, he's there. He says, when you recite this pastimes of Bali Maharaj and Vamanadev, everything becomes auspicious and complete. So I'm fortunate to speak on this verse. So when Bali Maharaj offered Vamanadev whatever he wanted, farmer, they requested him just for 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj was surprised, and Bali Maharaj was saying to Vamanadeva, when a king, especially when the king of the universe, offers you whatever you like, it's actually like an insult to ask just for like 3 steps of land. But in response to that, Vamanadeva replied saying that if a person is Krishna conscious, he's happy with whatever he gets and he's happy in any circumstance. On the other hand, if somebody is not Krishna conscious and if a person's mind and senses are not controlled, they will never be satisfied even if they own the entire universe. This was a very nice instruction given by Vamanadeva. Prabhupada would often quote this when he spoke on this subject. Same thing Krishna also says in the Gita. When Arjuna asked Krishna that what makes, it almost seems like we are forced to act sinfully. So what is the cause? What is the force behind everybody acting in a crazy way, everybody engaged in sense gratification? And Krishna in response explained that kama rupena kaunteya dusparena analena cha. Krishna compared the lust to fire. And Krishna explained, no matter if there is fire and if you keep pouring fuel into the fire, that's not the way to put the fire out. It's just going to keep growing bigger and bigger and bigger. Many times, like we hear, you know, I think like this, that, you know, sometimes Krishna consciousness is difficult. So by engaging in a little sense gratification, we try to make it easy. You know, because it's after all a difficult process. But, you know, by doing activities that are not Krishna conscious, like watching movie or eating bhoga or something like this, we make it a little easier for the process, you know, because it takes a long time for us to mature anyway. So in the meantime, we'll do something like this. But Krishna explains it doesn't work like that. The more you feed it, the more harder it becomes to control the senses and becomes more difficult. So Bali Maharaj offered Vamanadeva 3 steps of land. And with 2 steps, Vamanadeva took possession of the land and the sky. And Garuda saw this and said, oh, you offered 3 steps of land to my Lord. Now you offered only 2 and you have nothing more to offer. Therefore, you're a liar and a cheater. So Garuda bound him up with the ropes. And Bali Maharaj became like a prisoner. And he was like completely happy in that situation. And this Prabhupada writes this famous sloka in this connection that Yasyaham Anugrami Harishye Taddanam Shanai. It is explained that if Krishna likes us, then he gives all kinds of things and facilities. But if he loves us, then he takes away everything. But the good news is, in return, he offers himself to us. That's a great deal. Prabhupada was asked, when we go back to Godhead, are we going to remember the material existence? We had so many, you know, births in the material world, 8,400,000 species. And devotees asked Prabhupada, will we remember any of this? Prabhupada said, yeah, you will remember it, but it will be like a bad dream. It's like when we have a nightmare or something. You know, when you wake up, you may remember it, but you don't want to think about it. Who wants to meditate on nightmare? So that's what Prabhupada compared the material existence to. And also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Raghunath Das Goswami, finally when he made it to Jagannath Puri to be with Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das Goswami was embraced by Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, it's only by Krishna's mercy you were able to give up all that stool-like opulence. And he said, your uncle, Raghunath, and your uncle and father, they're in village terms, they're like my uncles too, so I can speak like this, don't mind. He said, your uncle and father are like two worms in stool. And it's explained that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking like this out of love for Raghunath Das Goswami and also out of love for Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. That the description is that if you take a worm out of stool, out of free will, he'll go back into it. You cannot separate them. So this is what the Acharyas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they compare this material existence to. So, but Krishna is so kind, if we offer our material existence with love to him, in return, he gives himself back to us in return. There is this famous sloka. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said, this is the essence of all the Vedic teachings. When Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were discussing, Ramananda Roy even quoted this verse, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam raja aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshishyami masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion, surrender unto me. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's alright, but if you know any better, then go on speaking. And then when Ramananda Roy came to this sloka, Jnane prayasa udapasi namante eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam Stane stita sutigatan tanuan manobir je prayaso ajito jito pitais trilokyam. When Ramananda Roy quoted this verse, basically the translation is, we don't need to change our status or position. Whatever situation we are in, we simply have to give oral reception to the name, form, pastimes, qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just by doing this activity, you actually conquer the unconquerable. Ajito jito pi tais trilokyam. Krishna's name is Ajita. Ajita means one who is unconquerable. And he becomes Jita. He becomes conquered out of love for his devotees. And Krishna also explains the same in the Gita that yayatamam prabhudyante tam statai bhajamiham. However, we surrender unto Krishna, then he rewards us accordingly. The example of a mother is given in this connection. If a mother has three children, the first one is like about 10 or 12 years old, and he's asking the mother all the time for some money to go watch a movie or something. So the mother gives him some money, okay, go watch a movie. And she has a second son who is like 6 or 7 years old. He says, drop me in my friend's place, I want to play. So she drops him off. But she has an infant, like a year old baby. It doesn't care about movies or friends or nothing, but all the baby knows is the mother. So the mother gives herself completely 100% to the child. So Krishna, in a similar way, whatever we ask him, he gives it to us. Like Prabhupada said, you know, the multi-millionaires in New York, you know, they're walking their dogs, they could make like, you know, $1,000 an hour. But out of love for their dog, they take the dogs on a walk, and we all know what the dogs do when they go on a walk. So Prabhupada says, similarly, we have come to this world to pass urine and stool, and Krishna is patiently waiting for us to come back. Prabhupada said in one lecture. So we can ask Krishna many things and he'll give it to us. But ultimately, whatever we get within this material world, it's all temporary and miserable. So therefore, we should know what to ask Krishna first before we ask him. Otherwise, Prabhupada gives the example of this old lady. She was carrying bundle of sticks on her back, and she tripped over and dropped all the load, and she was screaming, "God, please help me, please help me." And God came to her and, what can we do for you, Mataji? He said, "Please put that burden back on my shoulders so I can carry it again." God is there, He can give us whatever we like. But we ask again for the same burden. So in this way, we should know before we ask Krishna what to ask for. And we should also, by reading Prabhupada's books, develop the intelligence that by giving whatever we have in our possession to Krishna, we are never the loser. We gain immensely, like in the purport Prabhupada says. Those who give contribution to expand the activities of Krishna conscious movement and to accomplish its objectives will never be losers. They will get their wealth back with the blessings of Lord Krishna. In the beginning stages, however, Krishna is happy that whatever we offer Him, little leaf, flower, fruit or water. But in advanced stages, or as we make progress in bhakti yoga, Krishna expects more. Just like this example of this beggar is given, it's like a funny story that there was a beggar, he was going door to door begging alms. And he would go to this lady's house every day and she would beat him with a broomstick. And again he would come back next day, again he'd come back next day. So one day she was so annoyed, you know. So she came with a handful of ashes one day and put it in his begging bowl, and he was in ecstasy. The beggar was in ecstasy. So she was surprised. "I just gave you some ashes and you know you're so happy." He said, "Oh, at least you begin to give something. So that's a great progress. Usually you just beat me, but now you're starting to give some." Similarly, we give something to Krishna, then that's a great step. That's a great progress. But as the years go by, Krishna wants to see more commitment and more offerings. But the problem is Maya is so strong, as the years go by, we go the opposite direction. We actually give more when we're coming as new devotees mostly. But the process is that we have to sacrifice. Love means sacrifice. Without sacrificing, there's no question of love. It's like Radhanath Maharaj writes in his book. When he was a young child, he was very sick, so his mother came to see him in the hospital and, you know, tried to kiss him out of love for Maharaj, and he could smell the cigarette in her breath, so he was disturbed. So the mother said, "Oh, my son doesn't like it, so I won't smoke from today." So she quit smoking and she never touched another cigarette for like rest of her life. So he gives this an example as how love means not just lip service but actually action. You know? When Srivas Thakur, when they were performing kirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur, Srivas Thakur's son actually died just before they started the kirtan. But Srivas Thakur went and told his wife, "If you made any noise and if you disturbed Mahaprabhu's kirtan, not only your son died, I will also drown myself in Ganges. Then you will have no husband also." He said, "Be quiet till the kirtan finishes. Everybody is supposed to die anyways. And you, whoever we are supposed to think at the time of death, that person is coming to our house to do kirtan. So there's no loss. Just be quiet." And she was like so morose that Mahaprabhu could feel it. Like, is something wrong in the house? You know. But there was so much sacrifice the devotees were performing. And out of this, we conquer Krishna through this sacrifice. And my spiritual master, Devamrita Maharaj, when I was with him for a couple of years recently, He was actually talking about this principle a lot in his preachings. He was saying how if we sacrificed, if we engaged in the Yuga Dharma, which is book distribution and chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the ultimate sacrifice, and if we put aside our selfishness and reached out to help the conditioned souls and took care of the devotees, whoever is coming. Because the tendency is that, you know, we want to save everybody outside, and whoever is comes to us, you know, then they're already regular, so we just walk by and, you know, no loving exchanges, no care, no compassion like this. Not all the time, but happens a lot. So my Guru Maharaj was always talking about this principle of how when we take care of the devotees and we perform the Yuga Dharma and give up our selfish attitude and reach out to people, amazing things happen. Actually, what happened was there was this Mataji book distributor, one of my god sisters. She met this person on book distribution and invited him to our preaching center to do some yoga and have some vegetarian food like this. And this person was amazed to meet the book distributor, and he did come. He did come to the preaching center, and he was like so happy to see the devotees and eat the prasad and hear the chanting. And he was like so impressed when he found out that none of the staff are getting paid. He was like so impressed that, you know, in this day and age that, you know, people work for free and they're so dedicated and so enthusiastic. And he said, I want to see the person who's in charge of this center. So they introduced him to my spiritual master. And when he met with him, nobody knew anything about this person. So they just thought like this is another person that just wants to meet with the Swami, you know. So when he met with my Guru Maharaj, he said to my Guru Maharaj, he's actually a big, wealthy real estate person. He's actually from Croatia. So he met with my spiritual master and said, you actually have a problem. And my Guru Maharaj said to him, I have many problems. Which one are you talking about? He said, I'm going to give you $1 million. What are you going to do with it? And my spiritual master said to him that, you know, our devotees are working so hard in the cities all the time. So it would be nice that we have a retreat center outside the city where, you know, we can take people and, you know, guests on a yoga retreat and teach them about Krishna consciousness, and our devotees can also recharge and recuperate from all the yajna they're doing throughout the year. At least once a year they can go there. And he said, actually, you know, I'm a real estate person all year long. This is what I'm doing. I'm looking for amazing properties and buying them and selling them. So don't worry, I will just get you a nice property then. So he went and got this really amazing piece of land, about 30 acres, nearby flowing river and very rich soil. And you can have, in summer, it's really beautiful. Like, you can see the ocean and really quiet and so nice. So like this, and he gave the donation, the land. And he's so favorable now, more and more he's seeing the amazing work of the devotees, the topmost welfare activities the devotees are performing. So he's offering like cows now. We already have their self-protected cows, but he's offering more and more. And he's offering to pay for a kirtan hall and, you know, retreat centers and like this. It's growing. And this person doesn't even chant 16 rounds yet, or I don't think he chants any rounds. But he could see the value. So my Guru Maharaj was speaking about this point, how when you engage in Krishna's service, we don't need to worry about all the details. if we just fully engaged in Krishna's service to please Him, then He sends everything necessary to assist. Like Prabhupada often said, just like big politicians, they spend millions of dollars to make propaganda about themselves during campaigns, like elections. What to speak of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything. Millions of Lakshmis are massaging His feet. So if we engaged in Krishna's service and we offered everything to Krishna, comes back many fold. Krishna is very grateful. Like the story of the fruit vendor. This lady was selling fruits in Vrindavan. And when she came by, Krishna with His little child hands came with a handful of grains and He wanted to barter. He seen Mother Yashoda buy fruits in exchange of grains. So He came with a handful of grains and gave it to the fruit lady, and in exchange she gave Him back like mangoes and amazing fruits. And as soon as she did that, her whole basket became filled with jewels, valuable jewels. And so many examples. Sudama Vipra, he was embarrassed because he had only like some chipped rice that his wife begged in the neighborhood to give it to Krishna. Krishna ate two mouthfuls and Rukmini had to stop him. If you ate one more, I have to personally go and be in their house as a maid servant. So please stop right there. Because just by eating Krishna, eating two mouthfuls of some broken chipped rice, the entire neighborhood of Sudama Vipra became so opulent. And everybody became so rich. And when Sudama Vipra went back, he couldn't even recognize his wife and children and his house. Everything became transformed. So there is so many wonderful things. Bhakti Yoga is so auspicious. So that's some of the things I wanted to say about the translation and purport regarding giving to Krishna. So we have any comments or questions or corrections from the devotees, we can discuss. Prabhupada's books are so amazing. So amazing. I was reading letters many times. Every time Prabhupada was writing a letter, most of the time he was saying to his disciples, please read my books carefully. He always says, please read them carefully. Achyuta Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice presentation, Shastrakrit Prabhu. Just to make this point, or reinforce the point you just made, of course not everybody's going to give $1 million like this Croatian real estate guy, but just a couple of days ago, an elderly woman called the BBT to make a donation to the temple. She wanted to pay for the daily prasadam distribution. So I engaged her a little bit. How did she come across Krishna consciousness? So she said when she was 7 years old, she actually died. She had this disease. She was in hospital. She knows that she actually died. And she saw this person and after dying who took her and showed her all these amazing things all over the place. She didn't know who he was or whatever, but then she came back to life. And she didn't know who that person was until she became like 50-something years old. She was living in Arizona. She came across devotees and got a book. And she realized that that person was actually Krishna. So she started going to the temple. And she got all the books. She's read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Now she's reading CC. She's retired. She lives in Alabama or something like that. One of those states. Arkansas. So she retired. And now she's just reading. She read the entire Bhagavatam. Now she's reading CC. And she just felt spontaneously, impelled to make some donation just because she was reading. She's never, lived in a temple. She just feels impelled to give something. So you're right. I mean, whatever we do, just keep getting the message out there. Just keep preaching and spontaneously people will give.
Prem Sankirtan, Prabhu.
My question is how to make distinction between something what I have or what I'm doing is for Christian service and it's not for my sin gratification. How you can really make this distinction?
He's saying, how do you make distinction between engaging in Krishna service and engaging in sense gratification? Distinction we can make through intelligence. Krishna says this is buddhi yoga. Krishna also says, dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. One who engages in devotional service, Krishna actually gives intelligence. And also by reading Prabhupada books, you know, like Upadesha Amrita, Nectar of Instruction, kind of Prabhupada makes it very clear. Prabhupada didn't leave any stones unturned. Anybody who reads Prabhupada books cannot be confused what's sense gratification and what's devotional service. It's pretty clear. You just have to read it. By reading Prabhupada books, we can stay healthy in Krishna consciousness. Maintain a really healthy spiritual life. Otherwise, there's so much maya outside, so much writers, so much bogus books outside. Like I was listening, Prabhupada said, the mayavadis, they want to be Gopijana Vallabha. But I challenged them if they can also be Giri Varadari. So it's like that. There's so much outside books are there, but Srila Prabhupada's books are very special. And by reading carefully every day his books and assisting, distributing his books, we go back to Godhead. That's Prabhupada's promise and Krishna's promise. Does that make sense? Amala Bhakta Prabhu.
Thank you very much for a wonderful class. Just to add one little point to what you had made, and that is when one works for one's own sense gratification, it's for one's own pleasure. Krishna is not in the picture. Your own pleasure is in the picture, your ears, your eyes, your nose, your tongue, your false ego, whatever. And when you work in devotional service, then Krishna's pleasure is the only concern. His pleasing his eyes, his ears, his nose, like King Ambarish. Everything he did is for the pleasure of Krishna. So we need to, if we have any doubt, then we just ask ourselves, am I doing this just for my pleasure, or am I doing this for Krishna's pleasure? And even if you do this for Krishna's pleasure, you may still be thinking of your own pleasure. So one has to be careful even there. By asking this question, one can think, if I'm doing it for Krishna's pleasure, but also for my own, then you're sharing it. But when you actually catch yourself, you say, well, what's the point of my pleasure? I will get it automatically. Krishna is the supreme merciful lover, and he will give me his love in the form of whatever he wants. I don't have to concern myself about my pleasure. That's his concern. My concern is his pleasure.
Prabhupada ki jai.